This is Wade Drafke with the Chief Organizing Report on Riding the Rails to Chennai. Railroads are serious transportation in the giant expanse of India. The trains are old but reliable. The amenities are not bare but non-existent, many of which are filled by hawkers jumping on from station to station, selling tea, coffee, chai, samosas, hot tins of food, heaping buckets of food, purses, knickknacks, and pins, giant pins twice the normal length. Our journey from Bengaluru to Chennai started at 3 p.m., scheduled to arrive in Chennai 6 hours later at 9 p.m. We pulled off within minutes of the schedule and creeped out of the station until we were well out of the city. This made it easier for the runners with their bags and sometimes whole families to lope across the track and jump on a train through one or the other of the open doors. They could then stand with others until their destination or be asked off and try again on the next train. Their predicament was not totally different from later boarders who might have bought a ticket where the station master assigned a seat without knowing or perhaps caring that someone had already purchased a seat and had been occupying it down the line for hours. This happened frequently and enlivened the trip for some. The fares are cheap, much cheaper than buses, for example, less than $10 for our trip from what I could figure, and the trains carry a load. The benches face each other and each hold three people on each side. None of this armrest nonsense either. So that's 12 per row. There were 29 cars in our train. Conservatively, there were 20 rows per car. Could there really have been a 7,000 person capacity on the train? Surely there were some cars not filled fully, or my math was wrong, or there were baggage cars, or whatever. Let's just knock 2,000 people off the train and call it 5,000. That's still a lot of people riding the rails to Chennai with us. The windows are open. There are bars, though not respected. Many of my seatmates were frustrated that they were unable to open the bars on my window seat, for example, thinking it would convenience me more. There was a drawing that instructed the means for opening the bars in an emergency, but that was not seen as relevant. When the train was up to full power, we had a good breeze. There were multiple fans coming from the ceiling, along with the fluorescent lights, but I was unsure how many fans were functional. The scenery was amazing. The contrast from one 8 million person city to another 4.5 million person city was largely one of complete and total rural villages and scenes fixed in time for centuries. Two oxen were plowing one field along the way with a man driving them from behind. Numerous goat and sheep herders stood unmoved by the passing train as they watched their flocks. We watched a funeral and much else. There were small towns and there were mud, brick, thatched roof houses aplenty. Some low-rise, rocky rises made me think of the U.S. West, though seeing them tower over coconut trees was hard to reconcile. It all worked remarkably well. Everyone seemed to understand the drill and settle into it. The biggest excitement, other than duplicate seating, was a young man's lost mobile phone that brought a half dozen outside the train at one point for a look around the tracks for a purpose that escaped me and was unsuccessful as expected. We jumped out at Chennai into a bustling, black, humid night, none the worse for wear and better for the experience. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.